Welcome to Live, Behind the Veil, an atmosphere where men and women of God speak His word to this age and bring His kingdom to this earth. Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see what God is doing in this hour? Let us join our host and the family's conversation as the Holy Spirit is unfolding the word behind the veil.
Faith is a gift from God. We know that faith comes from hearing, and hearing a word from God. I'm Ron, your host, and today we are discussing, where does our faith come from?
Let's talk about disappointments and how we can help people get past disappointments by eliminating deception that they believe that is creating that disappointment.
That last sentence you said is a key to the reason people have disappointments, is because they're believing something or for something that God hasn't spoken.
Mm-hmm.
We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing a word from God. So you can't manufacture faith in yourself. You can't say, I want to do this thing and work up faith for it. I'm going to believe for this thing. That is a human faith. It's the human mind or the human heart trying to produce something or get what it wants. But it's not a true faith. Faith comes by hearing a word from God. God spoke a word, it's confirmed, then you can have faith because He imparted faith to your heart. It's His faith, not something you're manufacturing. So I can't go out and go, you know, I'm having faith that God's going to give me this blue convertible Cadillac. Okay, if I don't have a confirmed word from God that God spoke through somebody that I was going to get a new car, if I just want that, I can't just go, I'm believing God's going to give me that car. Well, wait a minute. Did He ever speak that He was going to give you a new car? Or are you just manufacturing something out of, quote, people call faith? It's not faith. Boy, I tell you, you talk about discouragement in people's lives. If they go around doing that, their lives are a mess as far as any kind of faith or believing God. Well, God never answers my prayers. Well, that's because He never spoke to you these things that you're believing for.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no faith to exercise. You're exercising some generated thing out of your own being. It's not true faith.
Right, you're asking amiss. It's not really there. You want to believe that it's there, and you want to believe God for it, and that He'll give it to you. And it's the hardest thing for people, because they have to get out of their mind the flesh that wants something, and the spirit that wants to give them something, but maybe not that they're looking for.
Ron, you mentioned something that's very important. You sometimes strive, you work hard at things that you believe are what seems to be a good thing, but it's not necessarily where the Lord or the Holy Spirit is leading you. Let's go back in time and say you hear something from Billy Graham. Billy Graham says, you should do this. And Billy Graham, because he's not talking to 4 or 5 people, he's talking to 4 or 5,000 people, he may not be giving you a specific directive of what to do. It may work for somebody. But you need to take that word of potential direction to the Father and say, is this what you're telling me? Now, one of the practices that works well, and Dale has talked about this before, is that you present it to the Lord before you go to bed. And God's pretty faithful. The Holy Spirit will talk to you if you listen, if you give yourself to hear what He would say. What about people who say, oh, I don't have faith anymore because He doesn't answer my prayer? Then you have people who've lost loved ones, and they are so disappointed in God, thinking, you know, God, you took this person away from me, and I needed them. And there's a real valid issue in their minds as to what they're going through, and they blame God for it. Sometimes, if you become attuned to the Holy Spirit and you're believing God intensely, you quote that scripture, by his stripes we have been healed. Yeah, that's wonderful, but is it what the Holy Spirit is really saying for this person at this point in time? I think of Smith Wigglesworth. He brought his wife back from the dead, and God said, no, I want her. She's to come with me. And I believe if you're attuned and listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, he'll let you know if someone who's having issue is going to make it or not. It may be a benefit for them to go on the other side, but it's still a disappointment to so many, you know, when people pass away. How do we help people's faith out of a situation like that? You have to give them something that has validity, that you know is a word from God, and you know that they can connect with. There are so many people lose heart with God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, everybody, because situations don't prove out from what they believe they need to have.
One of the exciting things about faith is it's a gift. The key is, how do you receive this gift of faith? One of the translations I like calls faith belief. And that's the same thing. When God speaks a word, you can believe it and it'll happen. It's when we make the mistake of letting faith be accepted by our mind that we run into a problem. Because then that's no longer faith, it's your own ideas. That's why it's so important to get confirmation. It's why it's so important to look for that word to be real and confirmed, so it doesn't lead you down a path that's unfulfillable. Because faith is fulfilled by grace. It's fulfilled by walking out the word. If you're going to be afraid of God, start with the fear of asking amiss and let God work in you to where you are a faithful steward of his word. As he speaks to you, you're careful to seek confirmation. The amazing thing about faith never dies. As long as that faith is in your spirit and you're feeding it and you're taking care of it and you're walking in it, it's not going to die. It's eternal, because a word from God is eternal.
We're talking about the difference between faith, a true faith that comes from God, and a soulish mental lookalike. And if you can discern between the two, if you can step back, and this is a great exercise, and we've talked about this in another podcast, take the time to write down what you believe or what you're believing for. And then, after you've written down, have your list, go through each point and go back and find out what word from God gave me that faith. What word from God, what experience with God gave me, imparted to me that faith? If you can't pinpoint an experience with the Lord, a word from God, now don't go to the scriptures and just find some scripture to support what you wrote down. You can do that all day long.
Yep.
And that's what we're trying to get away from. It has to be an experience where God met you in the Word. God met you in a service through a pastor or whoever's bringing the Word. Maybe somebody walked up to you and gave you a word and it witnessed to you and it imparted to you a faith for something. God met you and gave you and imparted to you that faith. And if he didn't, if you can't honestly say in your heart that I had a meeting with the Lord and he imparted this to me, then it's not faith. You
right.
would be very smart to disconnect from that, quit believing for that, because it's just not true.
You have to take action on your faith. Stop and think. You have a ministry, or you have a desire, a love for the property where there's a physical manifestation of a word from God, you would go buy a pickup truck. It's amazing how actions of faith that you know you're, this is an expression. I'm expressing my faith in what God has called me to be. I'm going to buy a pickup truck.
Yep. But see, that's lined up to a word from God. You had an experience. You had a confirmed word from God. And now you're taking action. I have had 10 ministries come up to me and lay hands on me and said, we are saying that you're going to be a deacon. Okay. Now that I would call a confirmed word from God. Now I can go, I'm going to be a deacon. I'm going to go buy a pickup truck because I can help with the church. That's an act of faith. Now, the difference in that and going, I want a pickup truck. I'm going to believe God to have a pickup truck. Your basis of faith, there is no basis because you haven't had a word from God to act upon.
That's those things you want to forget because that's where the disappointment comes from.
Yep.
Is because it's not a viable word from God. If it's not there, then you're believing something amiss, you know, like Ed brought out earlier. And the issue is, one of the ways of reading a scripture, which is not recommended, is to look and find what you want to prove. You can prove anything you want to in the scriptures. But you know what? Satan uses the scriptures. We've talked about that before too. They're just words until he speaks them. And what you were talking about, Ron, is, you know, when you write down your things and if it's just something that's a hope and you let it go, then you've just eliminated a probable disappointment in your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do, is eliminate the disappointments and create an avenue to where faith can be built on. Because once you get rid of all the things that you're believing for that's not a truth, then you open the door. It's like taking a pitcher of old water and pouring it out, rinse it out, and then let the Lord fill it up again.
When you give expression to your faith, it's not like you're hoping for a Christmas present or you're hoping for a birthday. That your expressions of faith are based upon you have a confirmed word that you're giving an expression to. And it's important to have expressions of your faith because that builds the faith. Mm-hmm. And that even if you have a word from God, you still have to be expressing that word from God.
I would say this, Dale, if you had a word and an experience with the Lord where he's imparted to you faith for whatever subject we want to talk about, your expressions of faith increase your faith because you're making it alive. I would say if you don't express it, that's where you kill your faith.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't express, give action to the faith that God imparted to you through that experience, then you're killing your faith. Some people actually go just the opposite. Let's say they were believing for health, and they've had a word from God, not that they're believing for it out of themselves, but they've had a confirmed word from God. God met them, and they had an experience where God imparted to them faith to have life. Mm-hmm. Now, once they have had that, if they do nothing, it starves that faith within them and it becomes dead. Or worse, they can do things that are opposite life. Well, I'm just going to go out and drink a fifth of whiskey every day. I'm going to smoke 10, you know, packs of cigarettes every day. I'm going to eat all this fast food every day. Now, would you call that expressions of life? No. So you're actually killing the faith that God imparted to you. Mm-hmm. I'm just using that as an example. So this is a big subject. It's trying to cut through all the deception that people have accepted of what they've called faith, when actually it wasn't faith, or if they've had a faith imparted to them by God, learning what to do with that. Another point, and we've talked about this on a podcast, you're not trying to fulfill the word of God by your actions. That becomes religion. You're trying to produce what God told you he was going to do. There's a difference. If you're taking actions because you think you're going to fulfill the word that God spoke to you, that's not going to happen. God's word has everything within it to fulfill itself.
Yes.
What you're doing is you're expressing faith and action, and it can be very small action, of faith to keep that faith alive within you.
I will show you my faith by the works that I do. So if I have a confirmed word from God, you know, that I'm going to be healthy, going out and doing what we were talking about earlier, that's not going to do it. You know, all that bad food, everything like that is not going to raise a healthy body. Smoking is not going to raise a healthy body. So if you have a word from God, you can actually show it by the works that you do.
If you believe that you're supposed to have life, then you want to find those things that are taking it away from you. The little things, you know, that candy bar that you eat every day. Or I know a very close friend who had breakfast every morning. He'd go to a Winchell's donut house and he would get half a dozen chocolate cake donuts, and he would get a very large hot chocolate, and that was his breakfast. And then he realized, this is not giving me life. This is taking it away. And so he did quit.
The difference between wanting to quit something and the human will, how many people out there have wanted to lose weight, have done every diet under the sun, and failed?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a word from God? And again, this has to be a revelation to you, what we're speaking, or it will make no sense. But if you understand what we're talking about as having a meeting with God, God meets you, God reveals to you through a word, through an experience. I try not to limit that. He makes himself real to you and says, you are to walk in life now. You just got imparted to you faith. You go, I want life. I'm going to quit drinking that six-pack of Pepsi. I'm going to quit eating that candy bar. And you take steps to stop those things. You have God behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be by your willpower or by your strength. God will begin to lead you and enable you, give you the strength to overcome these things you cannot do in yourself. But if you don't have a word from God, then what you're relying on is your willpower. And the proof of what I'm saying is, look at all the obese people out there that have done everything in the world to lose weight and failed, or lost it and gained it all back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. You can't do something. What I'm saying is, don't try to do something on a human level. You need God. And that's the point of this conversation.
Yeah.
You don't have God in your life. If you don't have a word from God, seek it. Because without him, you're not going to accomplish things. You are not going to accomplish things.
A lie constitutes 99% truth. Many people are believing something that sounds so close to the truth, so close to what the Word of God is saying, but there's just a little twist that negates it from being the truth. People are believing amiss because even if the Lord spoke something, then their own minds like to twist to try and make it fit their system of belief. This is where it becomes a fallacy, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Faith is generated by that. And you can take that, but like we were talking about earlier, where you are proceeding to do something, to give an action to that faith, but when you introduce your own thing, then your conditioning, various things would help you to distort what is the true word. And Christ said he's going to go to the cross. And Peter said, God forbid. He didn't believe that Christ should go to the cross. But where did he get that from? It came from his own thought. The spirit that came through Peter at that moment that was trying to discourage Jesus from doing what he knew he had to do, what was a revelation to Jesus Christ.
What you're saying, Alan, is a perfect example of the parable of the sower. The seed was perfect. Mm-hmm. The issue was, what ground did it fall on? And real faith comes from hearing a word from God in it. The ground is the hearing in that parable. That's something that we can control. We can be prepared ground. We can be that final ground that yields its 40, 60, 100 fold. And it's how we hear. Faith comes from hearing a word. Faith, hearing a word.
Experiencing the impartation of God's word through his family is life. Has this time in his presence blessed you? Then please subscribe to our podcast at livebehindtheveil.com. If you would like to contact the family with questions or topics that you would like discussed, you can email them to livingepistles@livebehindtheveil.com. Stay connected, tuned in, and grow with the family as the Lord unveils his word to us live behind the veil.